Well, thank the Lord for His goodness to us, and it's a wonderful that we can be back with you today. The Lord's been good. We left you in January, and the Lord was with us as we traveled to Adelaide. From there, we traveled to the United States, and we were there for a little over 2 months. The Lord guided us in giving us safety in travel. We were pretty much all over the country. The northeastern part, the southeastern part, northwestern part, and the southwestern part. So altogether we were able to minister in 12 different churches. So we thank you for your prayers and for the Lord's leading and direction and blessing. But now we're back in the land of Oz. We're back in Australia, and we thank God for bringing us here, giving us the opportunity and the privilege to serve here. And as I think of Australia, I think at this time now back to the very early days. Some of you may be aware of this. Some of you are history buffs. You know the history of Australia. You know all about the First Fleet. But some of you may not be quite as familiar with that part of Australian history. But when the First Fleet first sailed from Plymouth in England to what was known as Botany Bay, probably now call it Sydney Harbour. But when they sailed, there was only one clergyman among the 1,000 people among the First Fleet, and that was the Reverend Richard Johnson. Johnson was a graduate of Cambridge University. He was an Anglican clergyman, but he was a true Bible-believing Christian, and he preached the gospel faithfully, even though he actually did not have the full support from the governor. See, Governor Phillip wanted Johnson to preach morals to the convicts. You know, behave yourself, be good, that kind of an idea. But Johnson preached the gospel. He wanted to see people realize that they were sinners, which they were. They were convicts, after all. That they were sinners, and that they needed Christ to be their Savior. And so, you know, as a matter of fact, it's interesting, but the records tell us that Philip considered Johnson a Methodist. And that was not used in a good sense at that particular time, but it was indicative that he was full of zeal, full of energy, preaching the gospel of Christ. And Philip didn't like it. Just preach these convicts to behave themselves. Well, Ian Murray wrote a book entitled Australian Christian Life from 1788. I would recommend that if you ever manage to get a copy of it, that you get it and read it. Maybe it should be in the church library and all can read it. Because it's not a systematic history of the church in Australia, but it tells about Australian Christian life. So there are pictures here, pictures there of what went on. But Governor Phillip describes something that happened when the First Fleet first arrived in Botany Bay. And I'm quoting here from this book. And I quote, Philip, in other words, the governor, Philip ordered a first service of public worship in Australia at 10 a.m. on Sunday, February 3, 1788. And then he gave orders. No man to be absent on any account whatever. Now, the meeting place was a great tree close to the harbor. And here Johnson preached from Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In the words of a Lieutenant Ralph Clark, or some pronounce it as a Lieutenant, in the words of a Lieutenant Ralph Clark, reporting this historic moment, we had a very good sermon. The behavior of the convicts was regular and attentive. If he was here today, would he be able to say the same thing? Except, of course, that you are not convicts. But would your, you know, behavior be regular and attentive? Well, that's as far as I'm quoting here from Australian Christian Life, pages 3 and 4. But you know these words from Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? They are really a prayer of thanksgiving. As one commentator puts it, in Psalm 116, the psalmist relates that God had delivered him from physical death, verse 3, that God had saved his eternal soul from spiritual death, verse 8, that God had dried his tears and steadied his stumbling walk, that's also verse 8, that God had freed him from the chains of slavery and sin, verse 16. Because of God's compassion, grace, mercy, and love, the psalmist said, I love the Lord. That's verse 1. Did you notice that when we read that as a scripture reading just now? That's how that psalm begins. The first words, I love the Lord. So in a prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving, he asks, and this is paraphrased, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? The actual words, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? But that really is the same, isn't it? How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And then the psalmist actually goes on to answer his own question by stating three things about, well, what was going on here. Because the first thing he says is, I will take the cup of salvation. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation. That's a very sad thing, that many people have heard the gospel. They know that Jesus promised that we believe on him, we'll never thirst again. You know, they see the cup of salvation, but they never live it up to taste and to drink of that life-giving water. They never see that the Lord is good. Of course, we could never repay the Lord Jesus Christ for his death on the cross for our sins. That's obvious. You know, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the living water. He is our river of life. He satisfies our desires in ways that this world could never offer. He gives us life. And he makes us produce good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. He satisfies our every need with good things. I will take, he says, the cup of salvation. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his goodness towards me? I will take the cup of salvation. You know, I read about a travelogue that was on television some time ago, and it was about a group of explorers that were searching in Africa for a vanishing tribe. In the course of their travels, they came across some natives who for centuries had made their home on the banks of one particular river. Now this in itself did not cause any wonder until they were shown the river. It was a polluted stream. It was filled with dirt and every contamination imaginable. And the natives had developed a method of swishing over the top of the water to get the bigger chunks out of the way before scooping the water up to drink it. Now one of the explorers took his canteen and poured out a large cup of crystal clear water and handed it to one of the aged women of the tribe. She took the cup, pressed it to her lips, and then put it down until she had drained it. Then, through an interpreter, she said that she had never dreamed that there was anything as sweet and wonderful as that. But how like the world without Christ is that? The world drinks from polluted streams, just swishing the chunks out of the way, because they have never known anything better. However, when they finally taste the crystal waters of eternal life, they proclaim that they never before realized there was anything so sweet and wonderful. That old woman was forced to go back to her polluted waters. But thank God, we can partake of the living waters of salvation, and we never need to go back. But I wonder, have you taken the cup of salvation? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? He came to give his life for you and me. He died for our sins, because don't forget, we're all sinners. But Christ took our sins upon him. And when we confess our sins to God and cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, he will forgive our sins and he will save us. Now that's what the psalmist says. I will take the cup of salvation. But have you taken the cup of salvation? It is my prayer that you have. And if you have not, that you will do so today. Come to Christ. He did come to seek and to save those who are lost. And so as we think of this prayer, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his goodness toward me? The psalmist says, first of all, I will take the cup of salvation. But again, still in verse 13, he says something else as well. He says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. In verse 17 also, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Picture with me for a moment in your mind a friend that you have. You know him well. And he knows you well, or she knows you well. And if your friend tells you, call upon me if you need anything, would you be willing to do it? You know, he might actually, or she might actually be insulted if he never asked for anything. If he never contacted. You know, it's not a very good friend, is it? I mean, you claim you're very good friends, but you never contact him. You never call him. You never go to his house. You know, it seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Of course, if it's a good friend, you will contact friend. You may ask, hey, can I have a drink? Or you may invite him over to your place. But you know, you think about a relationship with a good friend. But isn't that the picture the Bible gives? Our relationship as Christians with God? You know, you think about that. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we receive God's gift of eternal life, that God has promised to meet our needs. Philippians 4:19. Some of you have memorized that verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ told us not to worry about food, not to worry about drink, not to worry about clothing. But, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have a good friend. A friend that we can approach. A friend that we can go to in time of need. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, you know, course, as I say, we can call upon the name of the Lord. We're talking about prayer here. And we can all learn to pray better. We can remind ourselves to pray before we speak. We pray before we act. You know, somebody said, you know, be sure to put your mouth in gear before you put your foot in it. You know, and we have that problem sometimes, isn't it? We put our foot in our mouth. But you know, before we speak, pray. Before you act, pray. Pray before you worry. You know, I was saying, why worry when you can pray? Some people say, why pray when you can worry? Which way is it? Before you worry, pray. Learn that God keeps His word. To really trust someone is to repay their trust with faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. If we want to show God our appreciation, even though we could never repay Him completely for our salvation, we can take time to learn to pray. Learn to trust. We have a dependable, we have a loving God. He should be the first in our love and the first to whom we turn. I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, for those of you that were this past week in Brussels at the Bible conference, Pastor Mark pointed out, you know, that we are to be thankful for what Christ has done. He said, gratitude is a mark of faith. Gratitude is a mark of humility. Gratitude is a mark of growth. And if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He shall direct our path. You know Proverbs 3, verse 6. Well-known verse, but that's what it says. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy path. That's God. So, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? First of all, says the psalmist, I will take the cup of salvation. Secondly, he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. But then he says one more thing in verses 14 and 18. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. And verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You know, when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, we should tell Him that we are sorry for sinning against His wonderful love. We vow that with His help, we will try to sin less. Sin is transgression of the law of God. Sin is a falling short of the mark that God has set for us. Sin is not doing what God tells us to do, and it's doing what He tells us not to do. Remember, it works both ways. Sins of omission and sins of commission. So not doing what He tells us to do, and doing what He tells us not to do. You know, man, let's face it. We are born in sin. And certainly before we come to Christ, we serve sin. But when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, you know, is born again, he or she vows to serve a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask, has the Holy Spirit been leading us to become a better witness? You know, we talked earlier today, Pastor Mark was talking about the martyrs. But when you go back to the root meaning of that word, especially in the Greek, A martyr is a witness. A martyr is a witness to Christ. You know, have you become a better witness? Have we been trying and seeking to learn how to better present the gospel to the unbeliever? Has the Lord been encouraging us to develop and use certain gifts and talents that He has given us? And nobody can say, I don't have any talents. The Lord has given all of us some. Now, some may be five, some may be two, some may be one. Just don't bury that talent, but use it for the Lord. Are we making full use of what He has given us and what He has told us to use? How often have we said, okay, Lord, I'll do better the next time. And then what? We broke that vow right away. The Bible teaches, of course, that we're saved by grace through faith. And it also tells us that we must express our faith by our works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. You know, we are to pay our vows unto the Lord. Story that I heard many years ago, a little boy, well, when I say little, probably about 12, maybe 14 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood, was a crippled boy, walking with crutches. He was trying to catch a train. Reason for catching the train, he had somehow established a little business of selling fruits and sweets on the train to the passengers there. And it was difficult for him to walk with his crutches and then carrying a basket full of fruit and sweets. And as the passengers rushed along, one of them accidentally hit the boy, or actually hit the basket, and as a result it, you know, knocked oranges, apples, and candy bars all over the ground. And the man who caused the accident, he was actually quite angry, you know, with the boy. And he scolded him for getting in his way. You know, well, he should have watched out where he was going. But he scolded the boy. But then, another gentleman, seeing the boy's distress, went to his aid. And quickly he picked up the fruit and put it in the basket, and they added some money as well, and said, I'm sorry, sonny. I hope this makes up a little. And then with a smile, he went on his way. But the young boy, who had seldom been the recipient of such kindness, he called after the Good Samaritan. He said, Mister, please, sir, are you Jesus? No, replied the man. I'm only one of his followers. And so too, the people whose lives we touch need to see the Lord in our acts of compassion and Christian kindness. The psalmist said that he would try to repay the Lord by lifting the cup of salvation, calling on the Lord, which is praying to the Lord, and by keeping his vows. And in verses 17 to 19 in this psalm he said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And basically, we, you and I, can do the same by living for God in his house, in the church, in your own homes, your place of study, your place of works, and also, of course, among our fellow Christians. We can do so by giving out the gospel in the streets of our Jerusalem, our city, our town, our neighborhood. We try to repay the Lord for His love, for His compassion, for His mercy, for His grace, for His provision, by telling others of His love, by praising the Lord in all places and in all situations, by living by faith. We know that we can never fully repay God for the debt of love that we owe, but out of love, we try. There was a man by the name of Billy Bray. From what I remember, he lived in Ireland. And he was saved from a terrible life of drunkenness and sin. Now after his conversion, he experienced one trouble after another. Some people think when they become Christians, they never have any more troubles. Let me assure you, you will still have troubles. And so did Billy Bray. But he never ceased praising the Lord. At last he came to the place where all he had to eat was some very small potatoes. No rice. Some very small potatoes which a friend had given him. And Billy Bray bowed his head to offer thanks to the Lord for the potatoes. And then the devil said to him, "How can you thank God for such small potatoes?" And Billy replied, "Go away, devil. When I was serving you, I didn't even have small potatoes. I had no potatoes at all." Yes, praise the Lord, even for small potatoes. Well, what shall I render unto the Lord? For all His benefits, for all His goodness towards me, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord, and I will keep my vows. That's what the psalmist said. What about you? What about me? Have we taken the cup of salvation? Are we calling regularly and faithfully on the Lord? And are we keeping our vows? Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of the psalmist. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Lord, as we today thank Thee for all Thy benefits, for our salvation, for the church which Thou hast raised up, may we too today consider that question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And Father, may we be able to answer with the psalmist, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, 400.